And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Monday, October the 17th, 2016. 12:14 coming up on 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Scott Spears, along with you on the Now program. And we have got a very interesting program today I hope you will stay tuned for. I do want to tell you what's coming up really quick next hour. Next hour, we are going to be joined by presidential historian Douglas Brinkley, who's written a lot of great books on a lot of great subjects. He did the Reagan Diaries years ago. Douglas Brinkley will be on with us next hour, 1:15, to discuss everything going on with this crazy election this year as we get closer and closer, now under 25 days away. Our first guest is somebody who you have seen on national television on a national debate scene as recently as 8 days ago, did many talk shows last week, and we are so glad that she's able to join us today to tell her story and her part in this presidential election 2016. She is one of the accusers of Bill Clinton, Juanita Broderick. Ms. Broderick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, Scott, thank you for having me.
Juanita, what has this whirlwind been like since last Sunday night?
Well, it started all when Breitbart interviewed the three of us victims in Washington, D.C., and we did an in-depth interview with Aaron Klein from Breitbart. And before we left the D.C. area, in fact, I was taxiing in a plane on the runway when Mr. Trump's team called and asked if we would be his guest at the debate. And I had to think about this a lot, but I did decide to go.
What made you decide to go?
To have a voice again. For so many decades, people have said, why don't you crawl back into the woodwork? We're not interested in your allegations. And to have somebody interested in us and be able to put us in an area where we could be heard, it was important.
There is a few stories. I wanted to get to this right off the top because there's a few stories today floating around out there that NBC has an interview of you detailing Hillary Clinton's intimidation over your rape allegation, that parts were cut out and NBC has not released it. Is that true or false?
Hello?
Yeah, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here now.
Yeah, is that true?
Back when I did the interview, it took Lisa Myers a year to talk me into the interview. But back when I did the interview, Lisa and I talked about all of the things that she would be asking me, about the incident itself and anything connected to it. And as the interview proceeded, we were here at my home. Lisa Myers asked me, has anyone ever threatened or intimidated you? And when I went into the story about meeting Hillary approximately a month or 3 weeks after the rape, I started in telling about what she did to me, and that's when the producer rushes into my living room and says, oh, no, no, we can't go there. We cannot talk about Hillary.
Well, you know,
so
what?
That part was deleted from the Dateline interview.
Do you think if NBC still has that footage that it should be released?
Yes, I do. Because people say, well, why are you coming out now about Hillary? It's not now that I'm coming out because she's running for president. I even wrote an open letter to her when she was running for senator, reminding her of what she said to me back in 1978. But yes, I think it's very important to know that I've always stated these accusations.
We don't have any constraints of years ago, and I just want to use the right terminology. It's an alleged rape that happened in 1978. What did happen between you and Hillary Clinton that Dateline cut out?
Whenever I was still in a state of shock and very depressed after the rape, and I had been working in Bill Clinton's campaign for governor, and I had just gotten rid of all the information. I didn't want to be attached to that anymore. I wanted nothing to do with him. But when I was going through all my information, I found lists of people that still wanted to donate to his campaign and about three checks for the campaign. And there was going to be a fundraiser here in Van Buren at the home of Dr. Buddy Criswell. And so I contacted them, and the lady from the state who was in charge of his campaign was going to be there. So I did not attend the fundraiser, but I went up early to give her this information and quietly tell her that I was not going to be able to be a volunteer any longer. And before I could get out, approximately 30 minutes before the fundraiser began, Hillary and Bill Clinton come into the home. And so I start to go for the front door because I did not want to see him. It was frightening for me to even be in his presence. And so just before she came over to me, their driver, who was a very close friend and pharmacist here in Van Buren, came over to me and said that the topic of the conversation all the way from the airport was about me and Bill and Hillary asking questions about me. So I started to the front door, but before I could get there, Hillary Clinton came over to me, and she was very friendly, very nice, had a huge smile on her face, and said that she wanted to thank me for everything that I have done and supposedly would do in Bill's campaign. And I just nodded and was going to walk out of there. I did not want to be in their presence. And before I could, she grabs a hold of my arm, and she pulls me back to her, and that smile fades to an angry look, an angry voice, and she says to me, "Do you understand everything you do?" And I could have fainted right there, but I jerked my arm from hers, and we left.
I want to go back here, just for people who haven't heard about it. Let's go back to 1978, when the alleged rape happened. Take us through exactly what happened.
Okay. I was working, like I said, in the campaign. In the evening time, I owned my own business. I had my own nursing home and was very busy, you know, during the daytime. But in the evening, I would go around and try to ask to put up yard signs. And if people wanted to donate or they had an idea they wanted to donate, I would take those names. And so when Bill Clinton came to the area on a campaign tour, he visited my nursing home. And he came by and met some of my residents, met my employees, and I had an opportunity to talk to him about the problems we were having in nursing homes and our reimbursement method. And he seemed so interested. And his comment to me was, "If you're ever in Little Rock again, please call my campaign headquarters and let's get together and let's talk about these things." Scott, I was excited to have somebody who regulated my nursing home interested in our problems.
From there, where did we go?
Okay, I didn't know if you wanted to come in there or not. But so approximately 3 to 4 weeks later, my director of nursing and I did go to Little Rock for a meeting, and the morning after we got there, we called his campaign, and he made arrangements for us to meet in the Camelot coffee shop. That's where I was staying. That's where we were both staying, my nurse and I. So I told her, go on to the meeting, and as soon as I'm through in the coffee shop, I will come on to the meeting. So when Mr. Clinton got to the hotel, he called my room, and he said, "It's so crowded down here, and there's reporters. Can we just discuss this and have coffee in your room?" And no red flags went up for me. This was the Attorney General, soon to be the governor of my state, and I wasn't frightened of letting him come to my room. And that's when everything took a bad turn, and the sexual assault took place.
A lot of people have accused Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky being one, Jennifer Flowers, of extramarital affairs. I know Monica did not accuse him of rape.
But I'm not talking about sexual affairs and infidelities. Kathleen Willey and Paula Jones and I, and I'm sure there's others that are being vetted now as we speak, that experienced a sexual assault or a rape. I mean, we're talking about crimes, and we're talking about felonies. We're not talking about infidelities.
Absolutely. When this happened, when it was over, what did you think? Did you think of going to the authorities then?
No, I was completely devastated by his coldness, his callousness, the way he reacted after the rape. He was just like it was an everyday occurrence. My mouth was swollen and bleeding. I was devastated. And this man calmly walks to the door and puts on his sunglasses and says, "You better get some ice on that."
What exactly, without being too graphic for radio, what did he do that caused an injury?
We were having coffee at the window and having a very casual conversation, and I was about to get into the forms I had brought about the nursing home industry. And that's when he comes over to me and takes a hold of me, tries to kiss me, and I back up and say, "No, no, no." And that's when he grabs me again and starts to bite on my top lip, because I began to scream at the time, and forces me on the bed. And it was horrific.
I can imagine. I think a common question would be, because we just went a little ahead in time there when Hillary had come up to you at the fundraiser, why did you continue to work for his election?
I didn't. No, I had nothing to do with his election after the rape. Nothing whatsoever.
Oh, well, so the party, or the incident with Hillary, where did that take place at?
That was at a fundraiser, but I went approximately 30 to 45 minutes ahead of time to meet with the lady from the state to give her the list and the checks that I had, and to tell her I would no longer participate. I didn't tell her why. I just told her it was because my business took too much of my time. But I know I wanted nothing to do with them.
When Bill Clinton heads to the national scene in 1992, he's going to run for president. There were not rape allegations right off the bat. It was extramarital affairs. I believe Jennifer Flowers was one of the first to come out. When that was happening and you were watching that, knowing what you knew had happened 14 years earlier, what were you thinking when he was running for president?
I was absolutely thrilled that Jennifer was coming out, and hoped that some of these things would take care of the Clintons, but apparently it didn't. I'd stayed quiet for, my goodness, over 20 years, and probably would have still been quiet today. I was frightened. This man regulated my business back then, and like I said, he was the chief law enforcement of the state of Arkansas. And so I stayed quiet and probably never would have come forward had I not been outed by the Paula Jones case.
And tell people who don't remember exactly what happened there.
Okay. All of a sudden, I'm here in my own routine life, and two investigators show up at my front door, and they say to me, "We're here to talk to you about being raped by Bill Clinton." And it just shocked me. There they stood on my front porch, and they were recording me, and I didn't know it. And I told them very quickly, this was a painful thing, and I would not go there, and Paula Jones's lawyers could not depend upon me for anything, that I'd stayed quiet for so long, and I did not want to relive this.
There is this talk, anytime there is a sexual assault, about why do women wait to bring it up? From somebody who accuses somebody of having it happen to her, why do women wait?
You feel ashamed. It's demeaning. It's the most horrific act that could ever happen. You know, it's terrible. And for so long, I thought how stupid I was for allowing him to come to my room. You know, I felt guilty.
When it finally became public in the 90s, what was that like for you?
Oh, it was terrible. I couldn't even go to my local Walmart or anywhere without seeing my face on National Enquirer or some of those, you know, those magazines. It was difficult, and people were saying that I was a liar and it was just a terrible situation for me back then. And in the Paula Jones lawsuit, I denied because I thought, how dare these people involve me and my personal life that I've tried to stay quiet about all these years? How dare they involve me for their own personal gain?
When you denied, do you understand why people now have a hard time believing it? Who support the claims?
Oh, yes, I certainly do. Because, you know, I denied what happened. I still could not face it. And then my son, who is a local attorney, when we got the subpoena to be deposed by Ken Starr's people, he came to me. He had known about this since he was a teenager. And he came to me and he said, Mom, this is very serious. He said, we can't lie about it anymore. This is federal, and you must tell the truth. That's when I told the truth.
When Hillary Clinton announced that she was running for president back in 2008, this is not Bill. This is not the man who you accused of assaulting you. This is his wife who you felt did not treat you in a proper way. What did you think when she announced that back in 2008?
Well, I was a big Obama supporter. I gave a large amount to his campaign. I would have done anything back then to try to prevent her from coming in power after what she did to me. And I was so relieved when it became Obama.
A lot of people's... What was your feeling when she decided to run again now?
Oh, and just terrible. I was so disgusted that she had again was going to run for president. And then, back in January, prior to January, and that tweet that I sent out, she sends out this to all victims of sexual abuse, please come forward and you will be believed. I was absolutely shocked that she, of all people, could make that comment. I thought she should have been ashamed of herself.
What about her? Because, above all else, she was not the one who committed the accused rape. What about her?
I think she's enabled him all these years. When she came to me before that fundraiser that evening and said those things to me that she did, I knew what she meant. I knew that that woman was threatening me. I knew that she had knowledge of what he had done to me.
What do you think she meant? What would the consequences have been if you had come out back at that time?
I don't think back in the 70s and the 80s, people were ready to hear anything like this. The mentality was, oh, men will be men, just deal with it. And that's what we suffered back then. And I would not have come forward either because this man regulated my nursing home. He regulated my livelihood. He was, prior to that, was the chief law enforcement person in my state.
When she got the nomination and made the tweet, the comment that you just brought up, what were you feeling at that time? Because you still had not gotten involved, but obviously this stirred up something internally.
Oh, I thought, how dare her, Scott? I thought, you of all people cannot ask women to come forward. You don't have that right after what you did to me and the other women that accused him of sexual abuse. She didn't have that right. She never listened to us.
I want to go through last weekend, because it was one of the strangest weekends of, I think, presidential politics. We'll check with Douglas Brinkley later on, but I don't remember anything like this. On Friday, when the tape came out, 2 days before the debate, of Donald Trump on the bus with Billy Bush saying what he said, when you heard that, what did you think?
Oh, I was disgusted. I mean, I thought, how horrible for somebody, men, any man, to make those statements about women. I was thoroughly disgusted. But those were statements, Scott. and he apologized for those statements. Those were just words, and Bill Clinton's were actions.
When you showed up to the debate last Sunday night, 8 days ago, you were sitting behind Bill Clinton, Chelsea Clinton, Hillary Clinton's on stage. What was that like?
It was very hard to be in the same room with him again. It was we were sitting in a way where we were looking through to him and then on to the podium. It was very hard, and had to do a lot of soul searching before I went, because I did not want to be a sideshow. I wanted to be there to try to bring up what the Clintons had done to me so many years ago.
Do you think that event succeeded in doing that? Because a lot of media portrayed it as a sideshow. Not that
right, and I understand that. But it gave us the opportunity to talk to the media, who has told us for years, go back in the woodwork, we're not interested, that's old history. And to be able to talk to all the media after the debate was extremely cathartic for me, because I had been told to shut up for so many years. And to me, this was important, to bring out my history with the Clintons.
Donald Trump has been around for a long time, and at one point even made some critical remarks before he ran for president of the women who had accused Bill Clinton of doing things. Does that bother you?
Well, I've heard some of those, and yes, it does. You know, that bothers me in a way. But again, like I say, you know, those were words, and I'm sure he regrets those now, since he knows the full story of our allegations.
Do you think, because the question was, at the first debate he had threatened to set, I believe it was Jennifer Flowers in the front row next to Mark Cuban, and then at the second debate he brings your group to the event and sits them there. Did you ever get the impression that that's more for Donald Trump after having a bad weekend than for you guys?
I'm sure it might have been, but it still allowed us to speak after people would not listen to us for so many years. It still gave us the opportunity. It may have given him an opportunity to use us, and I'm okay with that, because it gave us an opportunity to tell our stories.
And I certainly do understand that. But in the light of this Access Hollywood video, I believe we're up to 11 accusers now, not just being words anymore, when it comes to Donald Trump. People who have come out on videotape to the New York Times, to CNN, in a lot of places. I think it's 11 women right now. When you hear those accounts of sexual abuse by Donald Trump, what do you think, as somebody who did not come forward right away either? Because that's the crack on these women right now.
Right, and I understand that. And if any of these accusations are proven to be true, my goodness, they have my deepest sympathy, and I will hold Donald Trump responsible for that. And I have no idea who I would vote for at that time, but I think this has to proceed in a manner to find out if these accusations, many have been disproven to date.
I think a couple of things in the media that bothered people last week, because obviously I think these investigations will go on, just like they should have for former President Bill Clinton. But it was the way that Donald Trump responded to them, saying, you know, take a look at her, that kind of tells the story. And saying things about it's all fabricated. He didn't have to respond in that way. And he even brought Hillary up during that, saying, I saw her walk across the stage during the debate in front of me. That didn't look like much. That wasn't much.
And that's disturbing when he makes those comments. And I can appreciate people being upset about that, because it upsets me too. But I still think he's so far better choice than Hillary Clinton. In my book, he is the one that I will vote for at this time in history. Now, how this proceeds over the next few weeks, what's proven, what's disproven, I will also go on that. But at this moment, I feel like she is completely the wrong candidate.
If an event, a lot can happen between now and then. We've got a big debate on Wednesday night, the final debate. If any of these were proven in some way between now and November the 8th, would you stay home? Would you vote third party? Is there a chance you could vote for Hillary Clinton?
Oh, no, my heavens. After what she did to me, there is no way that I could ever, ever vote for her and allow her to take Bill Clinton to the White House, and especially after all she's done to me. There's no way I could.
There's a lot of talk in the media this week, because Donald Trump is behind in the polls right now, that he is going to try to do something on Wednesday at this debate. Have you been contacted at this time about attending that debate? Because this has seemingly become the conversation between the women who have accused him and the women who were brought to the last debate.
No, I will not be at that debate.
What would be different?
I'm back home and settled now.
Oh, okay. I understand that. When you listen to these women, as somebody who went through it, I understand you empathize with them, but do they sound legitimate? Much like the Bill Cosby accusers. Do these women...
I have no idea. You know, I've not gone into that. Ever since I got home from New York, I have been doing radio interviews such as yours, and I've not really gone into it in depth. I'm sure the media will do that for us.
Is it harder now to vote for Donald Trump since the accusers came out than it was last Sunday?
It gives you a little mind-searching to do, but he is still my candidate.
It's what about Donald Trump, other than not being Hillary Clinton, is a positive to you?
His kindness. I'd never met the gentleman before, and I had never even been contacted until the day before the debate. I'd never been contacted by the Trump, you know, organization. And when we were all in that room together before we did that brief media interview, he did not thank us for being there. The first thing he said to us was, "I'm so sorry for what you've been through, and I want you to have an opportunity to tell your story." And I appreciated that. He and his family were extremely kind and respectful to our situation.
Because it played out on the national level after the Monica Lewinsky incident back in 1998, a lot of people have said Hillary was not very happy with Bill. Do you understand how somebody can stay with their husband? Because I guess theoretically, Melania Trump could be faced with that now, depending on where these accusations go.
Sure, and I understand that. I cannot to this day understand how she can stay with him after he has publicly ridiculed her as his wife. I don't understand it, and I don't believe anyone ever will. Their relationship is such a puzzle, and I feel like that I don't understand how she stayed with him all these years.
Aside from being Bill Clinton's wife, what do you dislike about her policies and her run for president?
As far as her policies, I can't find anything that really is a positive thing regarding her. If you ask someone on the street who's voting for Hillary, what has she done to make you feel like you need to vote for her? I can't answer one thing. But if you would ask somebody to list the negatives, they could go on all day long. I just do not think that this woman is truthful. Look at all of the scandals that she's in right now. That will probably never be answered before, you know, November the 8th. I do not think she's an honest person. I think she's very corrupt and very evil.
Do you think, now what we know about Donald Trump, that there is some problem there on that end as well, or do you just see him as a good guy?
I see him as a person who can help America. I think all of these accusations that have been brought up are just that at this point. They're accusations. And I feel like he is the only one. You know, James Woods had a tweet out the other day, and I agree with this. He says Donald Trump is vinegar, but Hillary Clinton is arsenic. And that's how I feel.
Does it give you any pause that when we finally get down to the mechanics of the campaign, that these economists and everybody have said that Donald Trump would send us into a recession, that newspapers that have never endorsed Democrats are doing so, that Republicans, former President George H.W. Bush has endorsed, well, he didn't endorse, but he said he was going to vote for Hillary Clinton. All the Republicans have abandoned him. Why have they done that?
Oh, I absolutely have no idea. I'm not deeply into politics, Scott. The only thing that I can relate to is what happened to me in that room in 1978 and what Hillary did to me a few weeks after. It was like I had been raped for the second time when she said those horrible things to me. I'm not that deep into politics. I don't understand politics. I only know my experiences with Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Do you have any thought at all as to why the country in this situation that we're in, that women highly are favoring Hillary Clinton?
No, I don't. And I went through this same thing back in the 90s when I first came out and when Monica Lewinsky first came out. The women's group never brought up my name. They never came to me to see if these allegations were true. They could have cared less about me and the other women's situations. They decided that Clinton's value to them as a president was outweighed all of his absolute sordidness in his personal life. They had too many obligations to women in America. And, you know, I decided right then and there that they weren't going to ask me, they weren't going to support me, but I had to accept this because he had a straight shot to him and were able to get legislations through that helped thousands and hundreds of thousands of women. And if I had to be thrown under the bus for them to get this through, I accept that.
When the media is covering something like this, a lot of talk has been brought up and said it's not covered fairly. But the Donald Trump accusers are a new thing. I think that's why they're, and he's running for president now, so they're being covered heavy. But back in the 90s, I remember a lot of attention being given to Jennifer Flowers, certainly Monica Lewinsky, certainly Paula Jones, And they were after you, as you said in the beginning. You didn't want to talk about it. They were after you. They interviewed you. Do you think they gave you, the media, a fair shake as they are giving these women a fair shake? They put you on television and have done what they've done?
No, it was only NBC that came to me. And that took a long time to convince me to come out and be on Dateline. And then NBC held the interview. You know, they I feel like they purposely held this interview until after the impeachment process. I remember one woman senator, and I can't believe remember who she was at the time. After she went into the hearing and everything and reviewed my case, she made the comment, "Well, that's his MO. You can expect that from him." I thought that was terrible.
Do you give any credence to the idea that Hillary is Bill's wife? She was back in 1978. She is now. And that, of course, she would be angry if somebody accused her husband of doing something?
Oh, yes. I would think that she would. She was the one that got the bimbo eruption room started and had all of her henchmen to go out and threaten most of the women, like she threatened me in person. I think that this marriage is very much suspect. I do not believe it's a regular marriage. I believe it's a partnership for power.
Being that, as you have said, you don't stay too much into the political scene, is this election for you more of a personal thing than a political choice?
It's both. I honestly feel that Donald Trump will be better for America. I think Hillary Clinton will not. It's a personal choice because of how I was treated by the Clintons. But it's also my views in the little that I've read about Donald Trump and the little that I've seen of him. I still support him 100%.
Forgive me for asking this question, but I think that you should have the opportunity to answer, because it happened back in the 90s. It happened when you came on the scene again last week. A lot of people in the media and a lot of personal friends of Bill and Hillary and people who've been around them for years discredit you. They say they're nuts, they're scorned women, they're angry, they're made up stories, they're trying to bring down Hillary Clinton in the last bit of this campaign. What do you say to those people?
Oh, I think they're so incorrect. When NBC vetted me, they went through my entire life, and they would not have put me on TV had it not been for a complete vetting of the circumstances, where I was that day, where he was that day, and the witness that found me in the condition that I was in, and the people I told afterwards. You know, it's very easy for me to relate and tell this story because it's the truth. And they can believe me or they can not believe me. That's strictly their choice.
Hillary, we talked about the tweet earlier on. Hillary Clinton put out this tweet last year that said all women, and this is a paraphrase because I don't have it exactly in front of me, but all women who suffer sexual abuse should be believed. Obviously, I would think you believe that as well. Even though we don't know the particulars on the Donald Trump situation, should these women be believed now?
You mean the Donald Trump accusers?
Yes.
Yeah, but we should be believed also.
Absolutely.
And if you'll notice, after I tweeted in January, Hillary Clinton removed "you should be believed" from her website.
So you believe that Hillary Clinton's quote was correct, it was just ironic that she was the one putting it up?
Right.
Right. So you do believe the Donald Trump accusers, even though there is not proof, because you do believe that all women who make this accusation should be believed?
Oh, I don't know if they should be believed. I think it should be talked about and should be investigated, such as I was.
Right. And I think that will happen. And I think it's an interesting thing, and it's an interesting conversation to have. And I want to ask you something, because I thought it was a unique question at the end of last week's debate, when one of the people on the stage asked Hillary and Donald to say something nice about each other. Is there anything nice you have to say? I can understand why there wouldn't be about Bill Clinton, because he's the one who you say allegedly raped you. But is there anything you can say nice about Hillary Clinton?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
And it all stems from that moment in the late 70s.
Yes.
Will there ever be forgiveness?
You know, I've talked with my pastor about that, you know, in-depthly. And at this point, I can't forgive them. They've never reached out to me for forgiveness. And if they ever do, it's something that I would contemplate. But at this point, they've never asked for my forgiveness.
Do you have any regrets in the last more than 35 years now?
You know, people say that. Do you regret not coming forward? It was the 70s. I would have been crucified had I come forward. I certainly don't regret coming back forward this year. Not at all.
A lot of people feel that all women should be believed, and there's nothing wrong with that. But do you understand why there are women who don't believe you?
Well, yes, I do. You know, they do. They have that right not to believe, but I think they should read and they should investigate what I went through back then and how I was treated by the media and by the Clintons.
Not that you should vote for Hillary Clinton or anything of that nature. But do you feel any anxiety that Hillary did threaten you? That's your accusation, and I think you have the right to that. But do you have any thought in your mind, as we get so close to this election, that by what you have done, along with the other three women, coming out so close to the election and backing Donald Trump, that you possibly could have hurt Hillary's chances, and quite possibly, because of the accusations that have come out, put another sexual assault, a man who has committed sexual assault, in the White House?
No, I'm not fearful of that. I am fearful of what Hillary Clinton, if she becomes president, might try to do to me. She's a revengeful person. And, of course, I would fear retaliation from her over the next year after she becomes president, if she does. At this point, I do not have any doubts that these accusations against Trump will come out further, and whether they're proven or not will depend upon whether I vote for him. But I don't have any, at this moment, I do not have any doubts that he is the best choice for president.
Aside from the accusations, because sometimes it does take a while to get these proven out, just the things he said about these women in public.
Yeah, they're deplorable.
Yeah.
They are. You know, they're actually disgusting comments, and he has apologized for those.
As near as I can tell, he's still going at that. The comments about the women, his
accusers. Well, I haven't watched TV now in approximately 72 hours. I've tried to stay away from it.
Well, I do understand. It's interesting. If you had another choice other than Donald Trump, would that make you feel more confident? If this was a Mitt Romney or a George Bush, would you feel better about the candidate that you backed?
Well, I supported George Bush. I supported Obama. I support the man and the person. I don't go by party anymore. At this point, I cannot say what I would do if these accusations prove true. Right now, I intend to vote against Hillary Clinton by voting for Donald Trump.
Final question here. If the accusations do prove out in the next 25 days, you have a woman who you feel threatened you, and you have a man who has committed the same type of sexual assault that was committed against you. Is that a heck of a choice for president? What do you do in that position?
Well, we'll just have to wait and see how it develops. I have no idea. I can't speak for the future.
When he calls, because it was brought up in the first debate, when he talked about aside from the sexual assaults, when he talked about the Miss Universe being too fat, when he talked about Rosie O'Donnell being a pig and called women dogs and went after Megyn Kelly, does that stuff bother you?
Oh, yes. Of course it does.
But still, he's your choice.
Oh, yes. Over Hillary any day.
Well, Juanita Broderick, I have to say this has been a very interesting conversation. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I'm glad that you are getting your due to be heard now, and people can make their own judgments. And I hope you'll come back in the future if we can do that.
Sure, Scott, and I really appreciate your asking.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Juanita Broderick. Very interesting story. We have a few minutes here if you'd like to weigh in on the Juanita Broderick interview, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call. Douglas Brinkley's coming up next hour. I know we'll have some time at the end of that to also take phone calls, presidential historian Douglas Brinkley. But what did you think of the Juanita Broderick interview? 740-383-9944. Do you believe? Do you disbelieve? What do you think? Did it change any opinions out there in listener land? 740-383-9944. Just give us a call. And don't forget, the Marion, Ohio League of Women Voters Candidates Night will be broadcast live and exclusively on WWGH Radio this coming Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Listen on the net, WWGH1071.com, or get the free TuneIn app on any mobile device and search WWGH. If you want to go watch it live, go to the Senior Center located at 2375 Harding Highway East. The doors will open at 7 p.m. and the broadcast will begin at 7:30, as well as the candidates' night itself. So a lot of fun. Remember, we have Douglas Brinkley coming up in the next hour, and your phone calls. Hope you're out there. Hope you have some thoughts. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We are going to take a very short break and come back with Douglas Brinkley right after this. Stay tuned. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.